answer and will also make a vow to you. Our God will never owe you anything. He owes no man anything. So after David swore to God and made such a wonderful vow from his heart, the Lord returned the vow that he received from David and gave him even more, even more. So the Lord has sworn in truth to David, Psalm 132 verse 11, and he will not turn from it. Remember, what God has spoken, he will never turn back. He said, I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. My, this is a wonderful promise. And this fruit of your body is not referring to Solomon. Because it says that they will sit on your throne forever. Right? So I already mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, the Lord Jesus is the son of David. That means he will inherit the throne. And then he continued to say, if your sons will keep my commandment, or my covenant, unfortunately they didn't. And my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. But they didn't keep the covenant. The only son of David that kept the covenant was who? The Lord Jesus. He is the son of David. So, if you read the book of Matthew, many, many times people call him Son of David. So the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise here. And he definitely will sit on the throne forever. And if we are faithful to him today, we will sit with him on his throne. So here, the Lord answered to David, their sons, the son of David, and their sons shall sit upon the throne forever. Now let me go to Revelation chapter 3 with you, just for the sake of some of the young people, to the church in Laodicea. The promise of the Lord to the overcomers. Okay, at the very end, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21. Let's all read together. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. What a wonderful promise. That we will sit with him on his throne. This is the Lord's promise. So, we need to be faithful to him. And by his life within us, we can make it. Praise the Lord. Now, actually, David thought that he discovered what God wants, a dwelling place. But actually, the Lord has already chosen it. Long time ago, except nobody discovered it. Because everybody was so busy with their own thing and nobody cared. So, verse 13, it says, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. And he declared, this is my dwelling place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that God has already planned everything, and including chapter 3, God has already planned everything before the foundation of the world. And in eternity past, God already designed and purposed to have His church in Christ Jesus long before anything happened. So don't think that this is something new, something that we discovered. No, we didn't discover anything. We just, by His mercy, received the revelation from Him that Christ loves the church. So God's purpose was already purpose before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus. Right. So here the Lord answered, I will dwell here. So the Lord desired a dwelling place. Actually, heaven is not His dwelling place. Heaven is not God's choice. If you ask God, well, what is your choice? Where do you want to live? In heaven or on earth? God will tell you, oh, I have made my choice long before. I will dwell in Zion. Praise the Lord. He desires to dwell with His people. So He said, if you build Zion, I will abundantly bless her spiritual provision. Provision is the riches. Go ahead. All kinds of provision. But for us today, we need the heavenly provision, the spiritual provision. So let us read again for the sake of the young people, Ephesians chapter 1. Let me just read it to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So all of this wonderful blessing is actually in Christ Jesus. That's why in Colossians you can see, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in Him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Right? And He is above all things. And in Him all things consist. What a wonderful Christ. Our Christ is not a small Christ. So God promised, I will abundantly bless her provision. So if you're building the church, don't be afraid. You shouldn't depend on anybody else. You should tell the Lord, Lord, you promised you're going to bless the provision, right? So, Lord, give us the nourishment. Give me a rich word. Take the Lord's promise. If He made a vow and He's not going to turn from it, remember that. Okay? Don't forget, Johann. You should tell the Lord. Don't say, oh, Lord, we have nothing in the church. We are so poor, we really have nothing. If you are building Zion, the Lord says, I will bless her provision abundantly. Ah, you should tell the Lord, Lord, bless the church in Quezon City abundantly with provision. So that all the young brothers and sisters, as well as the older saints, when you come together, you'll all have something wonderful to share about the Lord. The Lord will give you abundant provision. Don't be afraid. I know that. That's why I have some provision, right? It's not because I'm so capable. No, because of the Lord's blessing to have the provision for the church, for Zion. And I will satisfy her poor. Poor is not the poor people, the homeless. No, of course the Lord will also help them. But here is spiritually poor. Matthew chapter 5 verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You're hungry for spiritual food. It's terrible to go to a meeting coming home more hungry. You go to a meeting hungry, come out more hungry. Oh, this is not good. If you go to the dining room at 12 o'clock and you come out more hungry than when you come in, that is definitely not a good restaurant. You may be eating air or something, right? I will satisfy those who are poor in spirit with bread. What kind of bread? Bread from heaven. You remember our bread this morning? Right? I will satisfy her poor with bread. Praise the Lord. And I will also clothe her priest with what? Wow, salvation is our clothing. We should wear salvation every day when you go to work. Don't forget to put on the cloak of salvation, because you need it. You need to be saved by so many things. So I will clothe her priest with salvation. You know, our brother just got baptized, and also our young brother got baptized there, and our sister, they got baptized. You know what happened? We got baptized. Let us read Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 again. What did it say there? Chapter 3, verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, what happened? They have put on Christ. Wonderful. This is a wonderful reality. Right? So, remember to put on the cloak of salvation, because it's going to save you in your daily living. Don't forget that. He says, then the saints shall shout aloud for joy. Amen. The church life is no joy, it's not good. Everyone coming with long faces, no expression, sitting there, no joy, you may be in the wrong place. You may not be in Zion. Because if you're in Zion, my, there's much joy. Praise the Lord. But if you're not in Zion, there won't be joy. And then he says, I will make the horn of David grow. Now the horn signifies strength and power and authority in God's kingdom. This is the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the horn of David. So David's kingdom and authority expanded. You know, the kingdom of Israel was so big during the time of King David, because he conquered everybody, all the enemies and all the land. My, that was a wonderful promise that was fulfilled by the Lord. I will cause the horn of David to grow. Will the church in Kansas City grow? The Lord did not say, I will cause the hair of David to grow. But I will cause the horn of David to grow. Right? So you remember the Lamb of God after death and resurrection and ascension. My, you see the Lamb with seven horns. This is wonderful. Right? That's why the Lord says, all authority in heaven and on earth given to me. So go and disciple all nations. We're not just going as little, I don't know what. So when you all go to preach the gospel, you go with the authority of Christ. Bring with you, don't leave the horns in the house. And I will prepare a lamp for the anointed. My, a wonderful lamp the golden lampstand, shining brightly. This is what a church should be. Zion cannot be in darkness. Anyone who comes to Zion and groping around like a blind man, no light in darkness. Again, I said, you may have landed in the wrong place. Zion shall have the lampstand there and shining forwards. I will prepare a lamp, so you have spiritual food, you have abundant provision, you have the cloth of salvation, you have the inner joy, the horn was growing, and you have the lamp. Wonderful place. And then, don't forget, and his enemies I will clothe with shame. My. So today, don't be afraid. God's enemy will be afraid of you, not the other way around. So you must pray, Lord, your promise is to clothe Satan and all the power of darkness with shame. But upon him, David, his crown shall flourish, meaning to say his kingdom. He is the king, and his kingship together with kingdom will flourish. So don't think that the church in Quezon City will not flourish. The church in Quezon City will flourish. Now, after this, we go to the next psalm, which is the peak of the songs of ascent. Let's read it together. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like a precious ointment running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. My, this is the peak. This is the top of the songs of ascents, the oneness. This is very appropriate. It doesn't start with Psalm 120. If you change Psalm 120 with Psalm 133, it is not very good. Don't end up with lying lips and deceitful tongue and full of Meshech and a tent of Kedar and all proud people in the church life. No. That's the other way around. You're turning the whole thing upside down. Here in Psalm 133, my, that is the description of Zion. Brethren, not fighting with each other, but dwelling together in oneness, being built up together. This is wonderful. Who do you see that today? Who do you see that today? You don't see that too often. You don't see that anywhere today. So here, at the very end of the Songs of Ascents, behold. If there's nothing to see, would you say behold? No. You can only say behold is if there is really something to see. So when people come, what are they going to see here? My, they're going to see a group of saints being built up together in love. There's life here, there's oneness here, fitly framed together, something that you can see. So Psalm 133 is not a psalm encouraging you to be one. It's already too late if we still need to be encouraged. After so many years, you brothers have to be one. There's nothing to see. The oneness is not just to encourage you to be one. Psalm 133 is not for encouragement. It is something to behold, something to see. You don't see anything that is not there. Behold how good and how pleasant that all the brethren here are dwelling together in unity. If you fight just because of little thing, my goodness. The church is not a fighting ring. Right? You have a congressman who is the champ, right? I hope the church is not like that. There's no fighting here. There's harmony. Praise the Lord. There is a true oneness. There's a building work that is to be expressed right here in the church life. Behold. So when you come, invite people to come, they should see, wow, what a harmonious building it is here. This should be what people will see in the church life. How good and how pleasant for brethren to be one just on Sunday for 1 hour. You know, it's very easy to be one for 1 hour. I can still tolerate you, Johan, but only for 1 hour. But if I move into your house and dwell with you, you might kick me out the next week. As a visitor, Uncle John, we welcome you. Ah, but if I say I'm going to dwell there, then we fight, you're going to kick me out. Well, it's the house of God. We all dwell here. So we might as well be built up together in oneness to love one another. Right? For brethren to dwell together in oneness. It's not just unity here, but it's oneness. Right? And then he described what it is like. It is like the precious ointment, anointing oil, the precious anointing oil. So if there is the oneness, there is certainly the anointing oil. Turning it around, the same is true. If the anointing oil is there, there should be the true oneness. Don't say, oh, we are the spirit, but you're fighting with each other. What? Do you have a fighting spirit? Spirit taught you how to fight, to box. The congressman will teach you how to box. But not the anointing oil, not Aaron, the chief priest, the high priest. He will teach you how to be in harmony. You in him and he in you. This will bring forth a real love and oneness. So this oneness is like the precious oil upon the head. Who is the head again? Christ, remember that, okay? Don't say it's somebody else. It's the head. And Christ today is a great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. An order that is even higher than the priesthood of Aaron. Although Aaron in the Old Testament is the picture of Christ, but the reality of God's priesthood is much higher than Aaron. Yes. The run down the beard. The beard of Aaron. Especially mention Aaron because Aaron is the head. Just like Christ is the head of the body. And Christ, the name Christ means the anointed one. In fact, he is the anointing. I already mentioned to you once, right? Now we can forget about it, right? Because meanwhile, the Lord is not dwelling in a poor tent anymore. So, the word Christ, it is our English word Christ, or it is from Greek Christos, okay? So we call it Christ. But nobody knows what is the meaning of this word. So, Christ equals the Messiah, right? And the word means the anointed one. Anointed one. So Christ can be called the anointing, the anointed one. Let's just put it there, the anointed one. The anointed one. Now the Spirit here, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, as well as in the Old, you have in Exodus chapter 30, is the anointing. It's called the anointing. Of course, the meaning of the word is not anointing, but the Spirit equals the anointing. So the word anointing is the same word as Christ, except in a gerund, or even you can call it a verb form to anoint somebody. So, if we play around with words, the anointing is called what? Christing. How about that? Of course, nobody says that. Nobody used the word Christing, right? But this is in fact what it really means. Because Christ is the anointed one, and God has given him the anointing without measure. And now he's the head. This is the head. Of course, with beard here. Yes, beard is very good for the oil to flow down. Well, without a beard, you just drip down everywhere, right? But here you can see the oil. Here's the oil, the wonderful oil here, full of oil. And it flows down from the head to where? To the whole body. But as a priest, he was clothed with a garment down to his feet. And we are this wonderful body of Christ with his priestly garment. So the oil will just flow down the beard to the body, and it goes on even to the edge of his garment. This is really wonderful. This is the oneness of Zion. Everyone will receive the anointing. Even the youngest brother and sister, even just the youngest one here who was baptized, the anointing will flow down to you and to you and to all of us here. Don't say, oh, I'm just a little one here. I'm just a little one here. It doesn't matter. This anointing is going to flow down and reach you right here. That is what it says. But if you fight and you say, I don't want to stay here, and this part is gone, it's torn apart, and just somewhere on the road here, this is the part here that separated himself from the body. And don't think that it's going to flow like this to you. No, it's not going to flow like that to you. You want to have the anointing? Where should you be? You better be attached here. If you're not attached, you are not going to get the supply. You know, you see this little finger here, and the fingertip right here. the blood circulation will go all the way to my body and reach even the tip of my small finger. But if one day I cut this off, I don't need you, I cut it off. Or this little finger says, I don't need the body, why do I need a body? So it jumped out of my body. You think he's going to get the circulation? The nourishment, the oxygen, and everything that comes with it, he's not going to get it. So you better come back and be a good boy. Okay? Be a good boy. Come back here and stay in the oneness of the body. That's it. You don't even have to do too much. Just be there, it's going to flow down. If we are truly in the oneness of the body, you will get everything what everybody else gets. What the head has, it'll flow down to you. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful picture of the oneness of the anointing. The head with the body. Now, if you replace the head with, I don't know what kind of a head here, like this. Or if you replace the head, a square head, so there's no anointing here. Because only Christ has the anointing. He is the anointed one. And he's the one who has the fullness of the Spirit. So don't think it's easy to be the head. If you want to be the head, I'm going to ask you, do you have the fullness of the Spirit? No. Are you called the anointed? No. Are you the Messiah? No. Then are you qualified to be the head? No. So please, don't run away from the body and don't change the head. Two things you shouldn't do. Don't change the head and don't run away from the body. So the head should remain. This is the proper head. A beautiful picture here of oneness. So if we have the oneness, this Spirit of the Lord will automatically flow down from the head even to the edge of the garment. Now we continue to see. And it is also like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. The dew of Hermon is God's blessing, what we have already read, heavenly blessings from Ephesians chapter 1. So, it will come down to the mountains of Zion. That means from the heavens, where the mighty God sat or sits today, his blessing will come down by the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Spirit to the mountains of Zion. And the number one, the top blessing is what? Eternal life. Life forevermore. So now, if you want to enjoy the abundant life, not just a little bit. I know if somebody says, I'm born again and I have life. I say, yes, but how much? But if you want the abundant, the fullness of this life, again, you need to be here. Because the blessings of God, the full blessings of God is upon Zion. I'm not saying that as a Christian, if you're not in the church life, you don't get much blessing. No. But you will not get the abundant blessing. Because God will reserve his abundant blessing upon Zion. It's only for Zion. It's not for Cornerstone. Yeah. It's not for your private home. It's not for your little group. home Bible study, you will definitely get some blessing, but not the blessing that the Lord is going to give to Zion. Definitely not. I'm not saying that only we in the church life will get a blessing. No, but if we are Zion today, we are going to receive and enjoy the fullness of God's blessing. The fullness of life, the enjoyment of life. This is why, brothers, and we are not boasting here, by the Lord's mercy, He has shown us so much of His life here in the church. Isn't it true? You have been to so many places before. Do you see the abundance of life? So much rich blessing of life, Benson. If you tell me, really, if the full blessing of life, you tell me, I'll go and check. I don't mean with a band. They are very lively and jumping around, rolling, fainting, all that. That is not life. I mean Christ as our life. You enjoy the fullness of this wonderful life. God will even command His blessing. It says where? It says there. Where is there here? Zion. Not in Babylon. The Lord is not going to command His heavenly, spiritual blessing to Babylon. No. There in Zion, where the oneness is to be seen, where we are all fitly framed together with Christ. He is in you and we are in Him. And there is such a building of oneness. There, the Lord will command His blessings. And the top blessing, again I say, is life forevermore. If you don't believe, go and find out. Go and find out. Really, it's not because of us. It's because of Zion. The Lord's blessing is not because we are capable here or we're better than anybody else. Nope, we are not better than anybody else. But fortunately, by His mercy, we found Zion. That's why we got a blessing. So, it's very important to be in the right place. Bill Gates is so rich, but unfortunately I'm not his son. I'm in the wrong place. So I cannot enjoy the riches of Bill Gates. But if you are the son of one of the sons, I don't know how many children he has, but you denounce it, you say, I don't care for the Gates family, and you just run away, and you think Bill Gates is going to put you in the list as an heir, he will. Charlie Gates. If you run away, you hate Zion, you don't care for him, he'll just tuck. That's it. Or even better still, tuck. At the end, you don't even see your name there. Don't think I'm joking, because what the Lord told Sardis is, I'm going to blot your name out in the book of life. Am I joking? No. If I were, then it's my joke, but God will not joke with you. So praise the Lord for Psalm 133. And Psalm 134, you can read it yourself. Okay? Just a few verses. Now we can go and pack. You can leave this place, but don't leave Zion, okay? May the Lord bless all of us out of Zion. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's have some prayer before we go, huh?